These little town blues
moving on up
are melting away
to the east side.
I wanna be a part of it. New York, New York.
Alright, Guardians of the Geekery Podcast 15. That was fantastic.
Probably the best intro ever.
That was. The best singing we've had.
Darren's gonna hate me for saying that.
It's all good. Joey the Giddy Geeker, good job there. Woo! Carol the Cat.
Meow.
Tenacious T.
Hello.
I'm Matt Starnslord. And our very special guest, delighted to be here.
Hi there.
Hey. Woo! Thank you so much for singing in the intro.
No problem.
All right. Bum, bum, bum. Before we even tell anybody who the heck you are,
yes.
I'm going to launch you right into the rapid fire response round. I'm going to ask you a series of questions you need to answer with a word or phrase. No explanations needed because that just makes it funnier. And here we go. Have you ever performed in New Orleans?
No.
What's your favorite famous drag king or queen?
Famous queen Bianca Del Rio.
First record, tape, CD you ever purchased?
Bette Midler's Divine Madness.
Would you rather watch drag queens or go to a good drag racing show?
Drag queens.
Number one question you get from strangers.
Where do you put it?
Which Rocky Horror character can't be done in drag?
That's a null and void question.
Are you a shark or a jet?
Shark.
Favorite city to perform in?
New York.
Do you prefer nuts or pretzels on a plate?
Yes.
Which would you prefer, getting your teeth cleaned or having a clown car road trip?
Teeth cleaned.
Okay. You are trapped on a desert island with a solar-powered, battery-charged iPad. What of the following would you preload on there, knowing you would have that to watch over and over again and you only get one? So what would be your book that you would preload?
I can't remember the last book I've read.
Okay. About musical just, album.
Music album? Oh, I would probably say Sweeney Todd.
Okay. And
Stephen Sondheim.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I love Stephen Sondheim. Okay.
He just turned 85.
I don't know. Jeez. Album, yeah. We said. Movie.
The Birdcage.
That's a fun movie.
And game that you would play by yourself on an island.
By myself on an island. I'm old school. Give me like solitaire.
There you go. All right, well that's it. You
said yeah, I've made it.
Yes.
Diggity-diggity-go.
The million-dollar question is.
So tell us who the heck you are and why you're here.
Hi. I can answer half of that. I'm delighted to be here. I am a drag queen, internationally renowned. I perform all the way from L.A. to London and New York and Fort Lauderdale. And my home base for right now, for the next 5 weeks and for the past 9 years, is Charlotte, North Carolina.
But you're leaving.
But I am leaving us to go to New York City. And New York City, for anybody in the North, that is how Southerners say it. It's like, it's a salsa commercial, but...
you're a salsa commercial waiting to happen.
I know. But I guess my boy name is Clay Smith, and born and raised in Greenville, South Carolina. Have been performing for 14 years, and... accepted to Clemson University with a pre-med, pre-dental degree, changed it to marketing, then was the first vocal performance major at Clemson University, acting minor, and now I lip sync for a living.
Quite well, the
there illusion. You go. There you go. The
journey.
The journey of my life. But luckily I do sing during my show, so I'm like the singing drag queen. There's...
beautiful
not
voice.
Many of us in town.
You're like
in the
Christina
country.
Aguilera on Burlesque.
Oh, that's an interesting way of looking at it. I'm rarely blonde, though.
Well, sometimes.
Sometimes. Very, very rarely. Specific occasions.
You watched Burlesque? many times on the TV on Saturday when I didn't feel like getting up and finding the remote. Moving on. Yes, that's it. That's why I watched it over and over.
Over here, Christina.
No, you know who's on there? Stanley Tucci.
Stanley Tucci can do no wrong.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
He can do no wrong.
He is any fun movie everything. With Stanley Tucci in it, I'm going to watch it to find to hear
this.
Midsummer
Night's Dream. He's my favorite puck.
Well, and, you know, Easy A with Emma Stone, the Stanley Tucci lines, I'm sorry, they get me every time. It's just like over and over, any movie Stanley Tucci's in. That's
Devil
just
Wears Prada is probably my favorite with him.
Except for I read the book and the movie was different and I was sad.
Well, so what?
Stanley Tucci's in. Yeah.
What did we learn from this? Reading is bad.
It's true.
No.
You know it now, kids.
Wow.
That's it. All those books at home, I'm throwing them away.
Yeah, that's not happening.
No, it's not.
No. No. Yeah. Read. Reading is fundamental.
So, what was your first drag character that you did?
First drag character that I ever did, illusion, celebrity illusion wise, was probably Liza Minnelli. Mm. And the pictures of that are rather horrendous. The first one that I excelled at was Adele. That's the one that sort of has given me flight. That's what got me booked in London and has sort of created a name in the celebrity illusion world.
So. Yeah, no.
And that's just because I have a cleft chin. She does too.
Oh, right.
We've got butt chins. Me and Adele. You
but
know.
you have a whole host of illusions that
yes.
you do, though.
Some obviously better than others. I think that there's like two different categories. There's illusion and there's impersonation. Illusions where it's almost a doppelganger effect. Impersonation is, you know, someone who puts on a long Cher wig and tosses the hair and sticks out her tongue. Or, you know, that's more impersonation.
Right.
But I do Dolly Parton, Reba McEntire, Boy George, Adam Lambert, Liza Minnelli, Judy Garland, Stevie Nicks, Bette Midler, just so that's just a little snippet, but I think it's an amazing challenge because you're changing your, I mean, just as you drag, you're changing a masculine face to a feminine face. But then to do a celebrity illusion, you're changing your face to look like somebody else. So if they've got a crooked nose, you've got to make your nose crooked. If they've got, you know, dark eyes, I put in contacts to change my eye color. So for Dolly Parton, I put in fake teeth. You know, so it's the full regalia, not to mention the boobs.
Right.
So
yes, these are true. Mm-hmm. You must have boobs. Of course, you did stalker Channing too. I like her.
There are worse things I could do because she was pretty good.
She came out really well.
I have done worse.
Saw her when we were used to do Cult Movie Mondays, which is how we first met. Yes. We missed that so much.
I missed that.
I missed that. Cary Cranford and I, and a host of a team to put it together, but it would be like, so there's that phone call that happens. So we've got Cult Movie Monday tomorrow. What are we going to do? And it was like, what's the movie? Have you watched it yet? No. Well.
For those who don't know, Cult Movie Monday was an event that used to be hosted at Actors Theater. We hope someday it will come back again.
Mm-hmm.
I know they're working on it, but used to be the last Monday of the month.
Yes.
And you could go and watch on the old pull-out screens, just like we used to have in school. You get to watch a movie with a group, and then there would be commentary at the beginning, and at the end we would always play some crazy games, and there was cheap alcohol served in the lobby and free popcorn. And usually the staff would all show up in costume, and sometimes some of the participants would too. It was just so much fun, and we watched so many things.
I saw one of my favorite movies was I saw it first there, Grey Gardens. I've never seen
it. Oh my god, I was just gonna say that.
Oh my god,
this I had never seen it. Yeah, if it hadn't been for y'all, I would have never seen
I would
seen
not
Grey
even
Gardens.
Known that existed.
And then, yeah.
Criterion
now
Collection.
It's on Broadway. Yeah. I mean, oh, mother wanted me to wear a kimono. We had quite a fight. Oh.
Such an awesome film. So.
And then when I appreciated the HBO version so much more, having seen the original, which was just that I love that, and Warriors and Death Race 2000, you know, all those ones I would have never seen. I did not think of that, or you know why I love the Doctor Strange I love the Atom Bomb. Yeah, totally.
It was a joy to listen, and I don't know if I'm giving away a secret, but the staff would watch it in the lobby on the secret screen that we didn't tell anybody about, but we turned the audience microphones on so that we could listen to who laughed and who quoted things and who were, you know, saying anything during the movie. So
wait, we sat in the back row. You always heard us.
We were having a grand time because it was just for us listening to people enjoying something that we put on. And that, and hearing people laugh and hoot and holler and whatever, that just is the best feeling for anybody who's puts on an event, whether you're in front of an audience entertaining or you're creating the behind the scenes to do something. That's just really, really thrilling to just, it's like, do they really laugh at that? Ooh, okay.
Speaking of putting things on in front of an audience, you have a couple events coming up soon.
That was a good segue.
That was a good segue.
I thought we were going to talk costumes, but apparently
That was a very good segue. So you've got your farewell performance here in Charlotte.
Yes.
It's going to be at the Visual Light Theater. What day is that going to be on?
It's going to be on a Thursday, April 9th, from 7 to 10. The show starts around 8.
Okay.
So it is a Thursday. I don't want it to be too late of a night for folks. I want people to come and be able to make it to work the next day. Only a $5 cover. And it's going to be a drag-tastic event, but not just drag. So we've got camp drag, and we've got glamour drag, and we've got Big Mama D's. Big Mama D's coming to perform from House of Burlesque. And we've got a sort of a genderfuck entertainer who sings his own parodies to songs who will be there, named Malachi. And it's a really neat display of all the entertainment that Charlotte provides. And we will have it all on one stage that night.
That is
so
awesome.
It's really, really exciting.
And Starnes Lord has not been to a drag show yet. So.
I haven't, so I'm pretty excited. Yeah.
Then
that'd be the one to go to, right?
It is definitely one to go to. Because it's just going to be a lot of fun and lighthearted and, you know, maybe a tear or two. Oh. But, you know, that's what the beer is for.
Exactly.
And booze, because the full bar will be up and running. But it's sort of just my friends are calling it like a mid-drag crisis, because up until about a month ago, I went by a different stage name.
Yes.
Roxy C. Moorcox. And it's not just a name, it's a promise. And just because the name is gone doesn't mean the hobby has. But it is a new era in my career that I'm moving towards mainstream stuff and a little less nightlife. Not disappearing, but a little less nightlife. And I've done a TED Talk, and I've started speaking at universities about stereotypes and things. And, you know, with a name like Roxy C. Moorcox, you don't get many phone calls back for the legitimate work, you know, quote unquote. Right. And air quotes for a podcast.
Nice.
That's
how you do it. You're
first. I wasn't the first one. Yay.
So it's an exciting time for me right now. So, but you know, with that comes transition. So I'm moving, and we're gonna go out with a bang.
Yeah.
Do you feel like, now I know you're relatively new into the name change, but do you feel like every time somebody calls you by the new name, it kind of reminds you of why you're doing it and the changes? Do you feel different?
I feel different. I the name change came about because I wanted to have a G-rated name. But I also was sort of brainstorming with a friend of mine about why... I mean, not why the change, but what would the new name be? We thought about dropping the last name, but there's like 45 other Roxy drag entertainers in, across the country, so we can't just do that. So it's like, okay, here's an opportunity to rebrand. And over the past couple of years, I lead a very spiritual life, and I really love putting good energy into the world. I think you get it back, and I think that we need to have more of that. And I think that even in the troubling times that we have, they're there to help us learn something. So the name Delighted to Be Here is a reminder that wherever you are in that moment, you should be happy that you're there because it's for a reason, you know? Yeah. And I think once you get that perspective, it helps you on every other aspect of your life, and it in turn blesses the people that are around you. So it really is a matter of, like, you are here and this is where you're supposed to be. Now, where are you going next? You know, it's sort of, that is a, so yes, it does remind me of why I changed my name, and it's, I'm not tired of people going, "Are you delighted to be here?" And I'm like, "Yes, I am." I'm not tired of it yet. So it's because of that. It really is because of just being able to share that message of positivity, and let's sort of refocus. You know, with TV got into reality television, it's all about drama and all about you know, the Real Housewives, which are totally fake housewives. I mean, it's just, I don't understand what the draw is to that, because it just brings people down, and it tears people down. And I don't think that any of us benefit from it, from watching it or anything, you know? So for me, it's like, let's start a movement. Let's keep it going. Let's do something that is positive. Let's put good energy into the world. And
I think that's fantastic. Yeah, we need more of that.
Thank you.
Seriously.
And and everybody can do it. So you don't have to have the name to be delighted to be here. So, you know, it's like
you're so close. You have LGTB right in your name.
Wow.
You just need to add the Esquire, and then you'd have LGTBQ. Because that's how my brain works.
How neat is that?
You could just capitalize each of them and be like...
How neat. I didn't even think about that.
Huh.
Well, no.
There you go.
Everybody's just trying to figure out how to pronounce to be here. You know, I'm like, no, it's to be here. It's just squished together.
Who's to be here?
I was trying out for a musical group one time, and I was so nervous, and I was a freshman in college and everything like that, and I was sitting there, and my first name is Sherry Joe, but it's spelled C-H-E-R-I-J-O, which could almost be like the J in Navajo or something like that, and then my last name is Paquette, but there's that Q-U in there. And I was down here in the South in Greenville, and so I'm sitting there nervous and just kind of my knees shaking, and the dean of the School of Music kept calling out for Sherijo Pacqua, Sherijo Pacqua. And finally my friend like elbowed me in the gut and was like, "I think he's calling for you." I'm like, "Oh, that's me." And he's like, "Well, how do you say?" I'm like, "Sherry Joe Paquette." Like, red face. But awesome. But you know, I asked the question because, you know, I went from Sherry or Sherry Joe to Joey. And because I actually transferred to a school my senior year in high school that had like 5 Sherrys. And one of the Sherrys kind of came forward. I think she'd been nominated by the group and said, "Do you go by any other name? Because there's enough of us already." And I said, "Well, somebody called me Joey one time." She goes, "You should go with that." Okay, so in every school, every class, they'd be like, "And what's your nickname?" I'm like, "Joey." But I found that like, every time somebody called me Joey, it reminded me that who people thought I was in the past had changed. You know, I'm Joey now, and Joey is whoever I want her to be.
Right.
So that was kind of an amazing thing for me. And you talked about the mid-drag crisis. And I was just like, you know, sometimes you go out and you do something and you know it's the thing you want to do. But you kind of want that fresh start to do it the right way now that you learned a little bit more.
Yeah.
Or kind of take the stuff that you've already learned and kind of go forward with it in a more positive way. So I hope that brings you exactly where you want to be. So.
I believe it has already. And, you know, it's just a really neat thing to watch people go, I love it, I love it. And then maybe for one for every 50 go, how did you come about this? And then maybe one out of 100, you know, go, bah, you know, so... Really, the best part about it and the mindset that I have is if anybody is no longer a fan because I changed my name, that is your path. This is my path, and you are welcome to join me at any bus stop in the future. You know what I mean? It's like there is no hard feelings. If you're really associated with that name, so be it. That's great. I have many, many fond memories. But there are some amazing things happening in my life, and this is the direction that I need to go. And I know that it's right because there's no hard feelings. There's no sadness. You know, it's sort of like, if I ever win a Tony, I'll thank Roxy because she was a major part of my life, you know? But it doesn't mean that she's got to be there with me the rest of my life, you know? Right. So if you have any issues with it, ask me. I'll gladly answer or at least direct you to my website with the explanation video. It saved me some breath. But, you know, you're more than welcome to join on the bandwagon anytime in the future.
That's great.
That's how it should be.
Well, speaking of being on the bus, last time we checked, The Walking Dead had finally gotten to Virginia. So where's
a bus?
They would have liked there to have been a bus. I figure that's the only way that they got from Georgia to Virginia.
They walked,
apparently.
I'm
still not buying that whole you skipped through South Carolina, North Carolina, and didn't film it thing. So
it depends on what part you were going through. Now, if you were going like the northwest corner of Georgia, you can sort of skip right over into North Carolina and Virginia. Yeah. So that's not a very far journey.
They were actually walking down the Walking Dead.
Can you imagine them naming themselves The Walking Dead and then walking somewhere?
It's astounding.
That? So anything exciting happened that you kids need to talk about this week?
No, unfortunately.
It was a very odd episode.
Penultimate. There you go.
Penultimate!
Episode of the season. They're usually downers. They're usually crap. And this one was. So.
Yeah, I guess spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Rick goes crazy.
Rick, just kind of lost his shit, and he went back to being a sheriff like he was before the big zombie apocalypse in this new town that had walls, so it was sort of like they were playing house is the best way because the zombies were still outside, and if they walked out, they were immediately attacked. And anyways, it was kind of interesting. So it's like you have this little safe little cocoon while you're in this big gated city, but you know outside you're basically toast again. But you get kind of comfortable, and then you go out. But I guess Rick just lost it, and he wanted to be in charge of everything. I think
I get where they're going with this because the people in Alexandria are weak, and they don't know.
They don't get it.
They don't get it. But by the same token, it just made your hero look like a complete and utter asshole.
Yeah, he beat this drunk guy who he had the hots for his wife in front of everybody, like in the middle of the street. So everybody saw him be an ass. And
please, how long has Rick been on the outside and has fought zombies and has fought cannibals and has fought the governor?
Yeah.
And he can't take down one drunk surgeon? Come on.
Yeah.
I mean,
a surgeon would be a good person to kind of keep healthy.
One. Well, yes, that's the point of this community, is that they were going to let the surgeon continue to beat his wife because he was the surgeon.
And they just a doctor, but really surgeon. Could save
but,
you.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't buy it. The only part I did like was the fact that the little kid hid behind Carol.
Carol.
I do like the character of Carol. She's a sociopath. But I love the character of Carol, and I just thought it was hysterical that this poor little abused kid's going to go running behind the sociopath. Please protect me.
Yeah.
So.
Sure. I'm not. Yeah. I'm not known to
tie your dad to a
shoot,
tree
to shoot kids if they go crazy either. Yeah, so yeah. Yeah. She's got quite a history, but yeah.
Yes, but it wasn't a great episode. No. I'm looking forward to the 90-minute finale though to see what they do, and yeah. Then of course there's no Walking Dead for another year. But I get my Mad Men and my
October,
Game of Thrones.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Ooh, Game of Thrones is coming, and yeah. If they're not, and if we don't have it for another year, that allows me to binge watch Walking Dead from the beginning.
Yes.
So.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That,
and those early seasons are so great.
Yeah, it has its ups and down moments, but yeah. I love the characters. But
I really still miss the prison. I think that was a cool
yeah.
period until the very end, but they found this prison and mm-hmm. they took it over, and it was like. It was a perfect place because you're basically a fortress. You think
right.
of keeping people in, but it was made, well, these fences and gates and these different levels. It was like a brilliant place. It was the closest thing you could come to a castle in my mind, like in medieval times, because it was just like, this is made, you know, to keep fuckers in.
Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing after next week, I'll be the only one at the table watching Mad Men. So that'll be my Dancing with the Stars.
That'll be your Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
Hey,
I'm a Mad Men.
Now, you know, it took a season. But Starnes Lord here now joins me on the couch for Dancing with the Stars, so...
Yeah, I hadn't watched since Buzz Aldrin, just for the comedic effect back in the day, but it is
Alfonso
a fun
Rivero
show. It's a fun
brought
show.
You back,
yeah, yeah.
Tommy Chong, so...
Well, let's be honest, you brought me back. That's been quite
honest. Like, hi, I'm going to be sitting naked on the couch. You want to watch, you can do that.
Dancing with the Boobs!
But I'm going to start coming to more podcasts.
You never knew this world existed, did you?
Wow.
So Dancing with the Stars, they had their first elimination this week. The sad part was I really would have liked the person who was eliminated to stay a little longer because I felt that they brought some pizzazz to the show. It was, spoiler alert, it was Red Foo. And he had been a judge. He was from LMFAO, you know, I'm sexy and I know it. You know the song.
He's a big fro and he wears these checkered glasses constantly. But
And everybody in the audience was wearing them and it was this whole thing. But
I think the only issue I've got with that show is now that I've seen two seasons and now I'm an expert, admittedly.
Of course.
I've watched two seasons. Mm-hmm. But I hate that they take the votes for the first show. They don't eliminate people in the first show. But then the second show, you're eliminating people. And that second week, they get so much better, actually. So you really, like you said, you eliminated somebody that he improved quite a bit.
There was a time
so
when they
like,
used to let you do two shows and then you'd be eliminated.
Right.
But
didn't work?
Well, typically in the old days when the seasons first started, there was a elimination episode the following day, and it was usually an hour or half an hour show.
Okay.
And then as the popularity kind of leveled out, I wouldn't say that it waned, but as it leveled out, it kind of made it so that it didn't necessarily support that second day when they had other stuff that they could be broadcasting. So it used to be that you would see the grand finale, which was usually 2 or 3 hours the first time.
Right.
And then the next week you'd see him dance again. Uh-huh. And then on Tuesday you'd have the elimination. But they've stopped doing that. Now, what was interesting was that this time they didn't announce who was going to be eliminated until the very end of the show. And I think a lot of that had to do with Patti LaBelle, who's on this season, because she had injured herself in rehearsal on Sunday. And they weren't sure she was going to continue. And in the past, some of their older contestants, like Billy Dee Williams, has had to drop out after the second or third week because
they couldn't dance.
No, his body just couldn't keep up with it. So, yeah. So
dancing like that is really an intense. It's a sport.
It's four hours of dancing a day. So imagine doing 4 hours of any kind of aerobic activity.
And like Alfonso, he was, you know, he wasn't as big as I was, but I mean, he had a belly, and at the end of that thing, that guy was chiseled. I mean, he earned it, man.
Even the football player that was on this, that is on this season, you know, says, you know, I train all the time, but I train for 30-second plays. you know, at a time. And now I'm having to do, you know, so he goes, sometimes I might only have a 6 second play.
Yeah.
He goes, now I'm training for a 2 to 3 minute song. And, you know, as they go along, there'll eventually be 2 songs and everything like that. So it was really interesting. Suzanne Summers was the bottom of the 2 along with Red Fu. And I wasn't quite sure how I felt about that, although she, again, also did much better the second week than the first week. It's interesting. There's not the grab that I had, but the girl from The Hunger Games that played Prim, Katniss's sister, she's the youngest dancer, she made a huge improvement, and they actually said on Monday's season that they could actually see her going all the way, which the first week... you would not have said that. So I definitely think it was really interesting. So if you're not a geek about dancing, but you're a geek about Hunger Games, you should still watch a little bit because it would be worthwhile seeing.
And I really liked Rumor Willis. And
Bruce Willis's daughter and Demi Moore's daughter. Such a good dancer.
Is it Demi or Demi?
You know,
it's Demi.
I think it's Demi.
For the 80s it was Demi, but then she changed it to Demi.
Yeah.
Demi sounds fancier.
Demi sounds fancy.
Fancy.
But she named her kid Rumor.
So.
Has it.
And she said...
Adele impersonator.
That's the song they used for this week.
And that's the song she used this week.
And what?
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, how blatant.
I know.
Well, she was like, I might as well get this out of the way now. Yeah. Week 2.
Okay.
Let's just
she
go
still
ahead.
Have, like, the chin, cause
I
she
support
got her
that.
Dad's chin. And that was just
yeah,
so
but you know when in dancing, it actually points... correctly to the floor. So no, she really, you know, and she's got jiggly boobs. She actually looks a lot like Miss Moore, whatever her name is. So
that's what her jiggly boobs remind you of. Is I never
no, she has the long black hair too, and but her more angular features. But it was really funny watching Bruce Willis on the first week because you saw him get a little glistening, but his face was like Die Hard the whole time. He never broke character. He was not going to be like goofy dad at his daughter's dance recital. So that was really interesting.
Oh, God.
Speaking of goofy dad moments, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this week.
There was a goofy dad moment on
Agents
of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah, Coulson, Agent Coulson. You know.
Okay.
I'm like totally missing this.
Agent Coulson had to deal with Skye and her new powers and decide what they were going to do with her.
So he's kind of the goofy dad, kind of, sort of.
He kind of is. He's the closest thing she's had to a real dad. Of course, her own dad, we know last episode, went crazy.
That was Kyle MacLachlan, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Mr. Hyde in the Marvel Universe.
And but, you know, Skye's dealing with her newfound alien powers, and they don't know how to control it, so they put her in a cabin in the woods, Joss Whedon reference, and told her that, kind of like, you know, those invincible fences for dogs, she probably doesn't want to walk too deep in the woods, because that would not be a good thing. But, you know, so that was interesting. They kind of stuck her out in a cabin, and then we had the return of a couple bad guys from previous episodes. Ward came back, as well as Agent 33. Which is half of 66. So, just in case you're wondering.
Is her father no longer on the show?
He is one of those reoccurring characters.
Okay.
So, he escaped. Did he not? Last episode?
Yes.
I can't remember.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, he'll come on. I think he's about to do Twin Peaks.
Hopefully. Fingers crossed.
So.
Because there's maybe it'll happen.
Right.
Hopefully.
Things that will happen, though.
X-Files!
Six episodes returning.
We'll take it.
You give me David Duchovny.
Six episodes on Fox, though. I'm a little scared.
Well, but Chris Carter's still coming back as the executive, and he really made it.
Yes, but, you know, Fox's wife is still in charge, too, right? Same one who got rid of Firefly?
But if they're only ordering 6 episodes, then it'll be okay.
Okay.
I don't think they intend this to be anything more than a 6-episode arc.
Maybe they're following suit with things like Agent Carter and
Gallivant.
If anything,
they'll do the 6 episodes.
That was fierce, huh?
No, there's a whole.
There's a lot of history. There's a history.
I'm going to find out about this Gallivant.
Yeah. If anything, they'll do the 6-story arc and then maybe another movie.
We watched it because she had watched it, and so we stuck with it. And then after the first week, she never watched it again.
I would like to go on record officially. I did not start the Galavan thing. You guys brought up Galavan. I happened to have watched it.
But you were so excited that you finally had a geekdom that you could talk about that we stuck with it all of the episodes. Not that the episodes
and I didn't watch more than the first.
Good, but
you didn't watch more than the first.
I'll get to it at some point.
I kind of felt like I was led along a path, though, because it was supposed to be this event, this four-week event.
Yeah.
And then they give you air a cliffhanger quotes. At the end.
Yeah. Right. And to song, no less. Yeah. It's like, well, and but I appreciate that it was tongue-in-cheek in the sense of, if we get picked up next time, like, the actual lyrics were like, well, if we have a second season, we'll find out what happens. To da, da, da. So, but, I appreciate that.
Yeah. No, but, you know, to that, some things are here and gone, and then some things come back again. And today, all over the interwebs, we got to see clips of the YouTube video of Jesse L. Martin, from Law & Order, but also maybe more famously in some circles for his appearance on Rent. He and his Flash co-stars sang the Serenity Ballad, the opener to the Firefly series. Did you get to watch it yet?
I haven't watched it yet.
So the interesting thing is, and of course we will link it on our website.
Of course we link everything.
The interesting thing is that it starts off with Jesse singing, and we know Jesse Martin can sing beautifully. Right. You know, there's nobody
that
can sing.
Oh, yeah, we totally know that.
Have you never seen Rent?
No.
Tenacious T.
Have you seen Law and Order?
Right. Yeah, he doesn't.
No.
Okay.
Have you seen Cop Rock?
No.
Okay, forget
Nobody
I'm trying.
Has seen Cop Rock.
Me.
And if they have, they've Shame. Tried to strike it from their memory.
I have.
But so Jesse Martin, if you are familiar with him from Broadway and from Rent, you know that he has a beautiful voice. And so he starts off singing, and his two co-stars are kind of sitting there beside him, and you're like, okay. They're just staring blankly. And then all of a sudden he gets to about halfway through the song, and they come in perfect harmony. And it kind of gives you a little bit of chills. So I will link it on the website so you can see it. But definitely worth checking out. And I just thought that was really sweet. Now, the reason why they did that is because they actually did a Kickstarter to do a little short musical movie. And Joss Whedon was one of the big donors. So they did that specifically for him. But definitely worth it. And, of course, the Flash tie-in, which you've been watching.
If you're a Flash show fan, it's Cisco. Was the guy with the longer black hair, the younger guy. He's a scientist.
The guy who sings a thong
song? No, on the Flash. like the computer.
No,
that's my second favorite thing you said after the smog thing from episode whatever that was. I can't remember.
Two.
Was it really? Wow.
One. I think it's episode one, wasn't it?
I don't know.
Anyway,
dig into the archives and let's link to that.
And then Edward,
the guy who plays Eddie Thawne on the show, which he's coming through a big character change.
I'm sorry, we're all kind of losing it here on the mic. So.
I'm just thinking of a sequence song.
What's going on.
I'm just taking it all in. I'm just going, well, the mudblood said something. Not geeky.
I am not a mudblood.
In the geek, I was trying, like, what is a geek freshman term? You know?
Well, this week I learned in India they call you a fresher when you're new on your job, where we might call them a noob. Mm-hmm. In the gaming world, we might call you a noob or a newbie. They call you a fresher.
Fresher.
Yeah, so when I ask why somebody did not do their job correctly, at my new job, half of my team is in India. And I asked why somebody didn't do something correctly, and the reply that I got back is, well, they're a fresher. And so I'm going to take them in the cabin and talk to them. And a cabin is what you call a closed-door office. Lessons learned from India. Namaste. Okay, going back.
So, better a fresher than a
fluffer. I know, this is true.
So, it depends.
Wait a minute.
Who's freshing or who's fluffing?
Who's fluffing?
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Speaking of the thong song, have you seen RuPaul's Drag Race?
Yes. All seasons.
All seasons. Mm-hmm. All right.
This last season.
And I have worked with most of the girls. So if you have any questions or want any dirt, I got it. Except for this season. Yeah. Not certain about this season, what's going on with it, for sure. I think that they just kicked off somebody this most recent episode, this Monday, that just didn't make any sense. So, I don't
know. Sometimes
he
doesn't, though. Sometimes I just don't understand how Rue chooses.
Right, but for all practical purposes, it is like you are determined to be in the bottom two based off what you have done during the challenges. Mm-hmm. And the lip sync for your life is the final deciding factor.
Right.
And generally, you would like to assume, or at least I do, that everything else is sort of how you got to the mm-hmm. bottom two, but not. It's like, this is the only time, other than an acting or singing challenge, that you perform on the show. So you base it on the lip sync for your life. And this week's lip sync for your life was just ridiculous. It's as mm-hmm. if you were putting, oh, okay, who would we put on? Okay. It's as if you were like Beaker from the Muppets up against Ethel Merman is how it looked. It was just like you know, it was just completely showmanship and kill it against like little emo child who's cute out of drag. I'll give that. And that's probably why they're still on the show. But you know, it's just sort of, it just felt so much of a letdown of process. You know, you, even though you know it's reality television and it's far from reality,
right,
you just have a hope in the process of mm-hmm. what you say is the way things work is how it will work.
Yeah.
And it just sort of
didn't. I think unfortunately that show's following other reality shows like Project Runway, where it was like, okay, the first few seasons it was all about what you're doing and what you're making. Mm-hmm. And the first few seasons of RuPaul's Drag Race, it was all about the performing. And now it's getting more and more into drama and more into shade and more who's fighting with who backstage. And it's just like, I just want to see him dress up and perform.
Yeah, I think someone mentioned it on Monday at a viewing party that, and I think they're right, it's like, there aren't that many just nice ones this time. Mm. Ordinarily, you always have some kind of trouble stir.
Yeah.
And inevitably, they stay on the show a lot longer than they should because that is their role
right.
on the show.
Right.
But you know that, you know,
but you get that.
Victory will yeah. will win. You
right.
know, the good will win by the end of it. And so this sort of just goes, there just seems to be a lot of folks that are like, mmm. And I really have to put the asterisks beside this, that they are being portrayed this way.
Yeah.
You know, obviously it's their own words, so that kind
right.
of thing. But I have worked with so many of these girls, and they may be the absolute devil on the show, but that was just the TV that they were making.
Right.
You know, once you work with them, you know, most of them have been lovely except for one.
Oh, really?
Yes, except for one. We won't say their names, but there's no I.
Not
in
mommy.
There's
either.
Only one I. But
nice.
Yeah. You know, you say that, and I remember at Dragon Con one year, Erin Gray. I'm sorry.
I say Linda Gray.
I know. Wrong sister. Sorry. Erin Gray, somebody asked her if there was anybody that she would never work with or she hated in the industry. And she goes, well, you know, I don't usually talk about that. And she's like, well, no, I take that back. And she mentioned this one person that she would never work with again. And it's just always amazing that there's always one that just kind of sinks. And now whenever I watch TV, if that person's on it, I just have a hard time watching it because I know that guy is a misogynistic person to Erin Gray. So there you go. So
Gary Coleman, you're a bastard.
So on to happier stuff.
So wait, one quick question. So
yes,
this is the question you or the answer you gave in the lightning round. But so where do you hide it? How do you hide it? So,
I generally
so tuck well.
In my sock. I mean, but
kudos.
Headband.
That's the belt you're wearing. I thought it was strange flesh color.
Yes, yeah.
That was the sound of an elephant for those of you who don't have visual aids. I think that was actually a pretty good sound of an elephant.
Yeah, I got it.
We were laughing. I never know what the Yeti mic does to that, so.
That was not an elephant. So.
No, I love them. But yes, it is a not so fun process that many different entertainers do different things. Some use duct tape and some.
How?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Ow. Yeah. Would you, like, use gaffer's tape or something that would come off easier?
Well, I mean, some actually go for, like, the Gorilla tape that holds it even stronger, you know. Just crazy things.
Spontaneous erections, you know.
No, it just doesn't happen. No, I mean, there are certain things where you tuck so far back, you know, you don't want to be around anybody attractive. What's going on? But then you think about drag kings, so women who dress as men, right. And they bind, and there are a number of kings that instead of just compression, they tape their breasts under their armpit to create a flat chest surface.
Right.
So they tape back to the side. So I just wanted to make sure that the pain balance is there for men and women alike who are listening.
Giddy Geeker would not happen.
This is a craft that pain is beauty or handsomeness. So all we're asking is for a dollar. You know, all we're asking for is a dollar, maybe a five. So if you see a drag entertainer, tip them. I always say that do you like my legs? And I'll show a little thigh.
Yeah.
And, you know, my body is sponsored by Rooms to Go. And, and it's just this kind of thing where these pantyhose didn't come in an egg. And it's like, if you're laughing at that, you're over 35. And, you know.
Guilty. I think, Tiffany, back in the day, legs used to come in eggs.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yes. And so, but these are like, you know, dance skin or they're professional dance tights. And it takes four pair to smooth down the foam padding. So you do $15 a pair. That's $60 in pantyhose you're wearing. Mm. It's not a cheap hobby or a profession. Yeah. So it definitely is one of those things that I mentioned that we thank you in advance for every dollar that's given. It really does make the difference for an entertainer. Yeah. So. That's just the more you know. Bing, 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 bing.
Speaking about the more you know, we know a little bit more about X-Men Apocalypse. It's not on here.
We do know.
Yeah, they did. They announced another person on the cast.
Oh, Jubilee.
Jubilee.
It is on there.
Yep. Oh, okay. Sorry.
So who's playing Jubilee?
I didn't see that. I didn't link that, actually.
That's why I thought she was pretty good. Coming right up
total
here.
Failure.
Hey.
Failure,
hey.
What?
Hey, Paula.
I always thought Jubilee was kind of lame.
She was. Especially in the old animated series.
Well,
in the
90s. Because all she did was like
little sparklers. And,
she's Dazzler without the roller skates.
Yeah. although now she's had a baby that's a vampire. And now she's a vampire.
Okay.
So her origin has changed. Powers. She still has those mutant powers, but I don't think as a vampire you want to sparkle too much, despite the Twilight series of movies. But anyway.
Yeah.
Did you find anything?
Yeah, I sure did.
She did have, in the animated series, she did have a kick-ass costume, though. That yellow jacket and the headband just screamed 80s.
So, no capes, though. No capes.
No
capes. No capes.
Well,
no
Storm
not for Madonna, at least.
No.
So Bryan Singer announced that Lana Condor has been cast as Jubilee,
and we don't know who that is.
She was known more in the 1980 series, and Condor is a relative Hollywood newcomer. She has no current TV or film credits on her IMDb page,
and she is not an endangered California bird.
I like Carol. I like that one. I like that.
Condor,
I'll give you that one. I like it.
She said, you know, she's really not. A lot of the performers for this X-Men Apocalypse are actually pretty much newcomers. You know, they talked about Ty Sheridan. He was he's playing Cyclops. Alexander Shipp is playing Storm. Sophie Turner is playing Jean Grey.
Well, we know Sophie Turner.
But
yeah,
you know
Sophie
her.
Turner's got...
Oscar Isaac, who is from Inside Llewyn Davis. Is it Llewyn Davis?
Yeah.
He will also appear in Star Force, The Force Awakens, and he's set to play the villain, which is Apocalypse.
Wow. So he's not a friend of Kat in that Llewellyn...
And so, I think, you know, I love Coen Brothers films. I really do. That one just rub me the wrong way. Because I think it's the cat.
I was done with him.
I was after like, the cat thing. I was like,
fuck that dude.
Well, I think he's atoning for it.
And
then.
Not in a Henry Cavill kind of way.
He's atoning for it, though, exactly. As Apocalypse originally came from old Egyptian times. That's when he was the first
so
mutant.
He's trying to regain.
And they worshipped cats. So yeah, I think this is a good balance. He realized he was way over there. Now he's back here.
Okay, good.
So
let's even out the cat thing.
Like you're talking about, you have the good to balance mm-hmm. out the evil in the world, right?
Yeah, it's true.
Delighted to be here. He's delighted to be with cats again.
Yeah, sure.
Around the world.
And I.
Segue that one.
So speaking of good things coming around again, this last Avengers Age of Ultron trailer is perhaps the best.
Oh my goodness.
The most star-studded. Be linking that on the website.
Please.
Is this the one with Vision at the end, or did they release yet another one?
There's another one. And this one, I saw this on TV the other night. I mean, it's really quick. It's but it has a lot.
It's a TV trailer.
Yeah, it has funny lines in it. Captain America has a funny little throwaway joke. But you get a sense of the apocalyptic nature of the new universe that Ultron has created. And it's really creepy, too. So I'm really excited about it. May 1st, I think?
May 1st,
is that right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. So, I mean, that's not too far from now.
Who are the Avengers?
I'm just kidding.
I'm done.
I am so done with you.
I'm done. I'm going to go do a fishing podcast. I gotta get
out of here. And staying on an Avenger train.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We know the Runaway Russo train. Brothers have now been announced to direct the Avenger Affinity Wars, which is going to be a two-parter.
And they're going to film it one long shoot, like Superman 1 and 2.
Or like Hobbit.
Or Hobbit, yeah. So they're going to do one long shoot.
Hobbit coming out on DVD soon.
So Avenger Infinity War will be like the real live-action movies. It's not like a cartoon.
It'll be live-action, yeah.
Okay. I mean, you guys are always going off on these tangents about, like...
I know, and she's so true. I mean, she talked about Clone Wars, and that confused her,
because
that was... Oh,
because that was an animated...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
So there's, always, like, a TV version of...
Oh, no. So this will be Age of Ultron, and then they'll move into the Affinity Wars after that, parts 1 and 2. So it's pretty exciting. They're going to start filming in 2016.
And what are the Russo brothers known for?
Winter Soldier. They directed that. And they just signed... It's weird. They just signed a deal with Sony. So the question is, this must have snuck in right before the ink was dry on that, because they have a first-look development deal over at Sony now, which is... They have Spider-Man over there. So it's kind of interesting.
But not anymore. Didn't they come to a deal?
No. They still own it.
There's a loop-de-loop.
They're kind of leasing...
Leasing Spider-Man.
Yeah, renting Spider-Man out to the Avengers and stuff. Anyway, so yeah.
Well, you know, that's kind of the way Hollywood used to do it in the old days. Oh, You'd have your stable of actors or stable of characters, and you could, you know, borrow them back and forth between each other, but they were under contract, and I think that's kind of what they've done with Spider-Man, so...
Yeah. Disney eventually own everything, so it won't really matter. Yeah. They'll just say, yeah, you're going to be in this one, kid, and they'll get switched over there. And then,
speaking of Disney-owned things, Jurassic Park, I'm going to be linking...
Disney-owned?
Now it is.
Yeah, Jurassic Park?
Is that Universal Studios? Did I screw up again?
That was DreamWorks.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. DreamWorks. Okay, so everything is awesome because this has Legos in it. A father and daughter team got together, and they recreated some amazing Jurassic Park scenes using Legos, and I'll be linking that on the website if you'd like to take a look. I'm sorry, I suck, Carol.
I wasn't laughing at that. I was laughing at the Legos.
Yeah, no, made out of Legos because everything's awesome.
I feel like there's a lot of that lately. Haven't we talked about other people?
Legos are cool.
Crap out of
Legos are cool.
Again.
Again, yeah.
Yeah, but Jurassic Park should always be. Well, except for movies 2 and 3. Yeah. I remember going to see Jurassic Park. The first one in the movie theater. And so it has always had an impact. And I watched all three of them again recently once they announced that the new one is coming. And I was so amazed at how enjoyable the first one was, mm-hmm. even now. That one would be a cult movie that I would love to bring back. Because it still... spooked me pretty good, you know.
Yeah,
like,
it's still very
thriller.
Has
startling
things in it, which I think Hollywood has lost a lot of. They go for the shock value the horror, but they very seldom, like Alfred Hitchcock, like a cat jumps out and you're like, ah, that could be the scariest thing you see in half an hour, and it's like, but it really does scare you. The whole audience is like, ah,
because you know something's gonna happen, and so you're just that tension. It's the kinetic, I always call it kinetic fear, you know, it's like that potential, like Good Son. Good Son, you don't see tons of on-screen violence, but there's always that thing of Macaulay Culkin is evil and he's going to do something bad. And you're just constantly scared. Well, that's
typecasting.
Yeah.
Yes. True.
But yeah, definitely. And what's interesting to me is like Jurassic Park is now all over TNT and some of these rerun
cable. They're gearing up for the
because
movie.
They're gearing up for it. It's Jurassic like,
World. Does it come out this year?
Yeah. Jurassic World?
Yeah.
Yeah. Comes out this summer. I'm actually surprised watching Jurassic Park, the original one, how well the special effects hold up.
Right. Exactly.
I have to say, seeing the previews of the newest one, it's like, wow, that doesn't look as good as that first one that came out
with Steven Spielberg, right?
Yeah. It's Steven Spielberg.
So speaking of things coming out to scare you, you're going to be seeing...
We're talking about erections again. What? No.
Do I have to tell my parents again?
He's excited.
No.
There's been a Henry Cavill sighting. There's been a Henry Cavill sighting. Look out.
You didn't sound scared there, though.
What?
She's just thinking of things that scare you. And
talking about erections. Popping out.
Yeah. That's all I heard.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So.
So what were you trying to get to?
I was trying to get to Unfriended, which is a movie that is coming out.
Yes.
I have no idea if that's going to scare me, frankly, but I'll go see it.
It's going to be awesome.
It's a movie coming out that we've gotten free passes to. Yes.
Which is why I'm seeing it.
And Carol has VIP passes too, and she's very excited about it. We're so thankful that they gave us these passes.
Thank you.
But we're getting passes for April 15th. Of course, that's a podcasting night, so you just will have to suffer without you. And tax day. It's the day after my birthday too.
Yeah, that is a scary day. Podcast the next day or the day before.
But you know, it's all about. Yes, well, yes.
I can text
you. No, the day before.
The day before
is my birthday, so maybe we'll have to do it the day after, so you can tell us what you thought of it.
Okay. Either that or I text you from the theater.
Yeah.
Live via text.
Live via. Well, no, but you might
Carol the cat.
You might get kicked out, so don't do that.
Take my phone.
Yes, take my phone away. Oh, okay, sorry.
No, you take that. There's good stuff in there.
I don't know. But anyway, so...
Don't swipe left or right. Don't swipe left or right.
That's how we met. We both swiped right. So...
Aww.
But then he deleted the app and I had to go stalk him on Facebook. Which, speaking of which, that's a little bit about what Unfriended is about. It's about, you know, how you could unfriend somebody on Facebook and then maybe they take it the wrong way and it becomes a horror movie.
Does it let you know if you unfriend someone?
No.
There are user interface trackers that can tell you.
Oh.
It's like an external
app. A whole new level of creepy.
But you know, there's those people, like, you're fairly new to Facebook, so your list is smaller of how many people are your friends, correct?
Plus, I take it way too, like, literally. I'm like, do I really know this person?
Right.
Do I really want to converse with them? Do I really want to, like, and it's funny because people will be like, you're just supposed to connect to everybody you've ever possibly had a word with or glance.
And
then you hide their feed and never see them again and don't really realize they're still your friend. But
certainly as an entertainer, there's probably tons of people on your page that you don't necessarily personally know.
Plenty.
And
I've maxed out my profile at 5,000 and over 2,000 on my fan page to carry over. And I don't get to see any of the posts that of anybody that I want to see.
You have to click on follow and close friends.
All these things, and then I just want them to show up in the feed. I don't want notifications from them, and it's just Facebook. And I've been zapped twice for my drag name, you know. So the whole not using your real name, and I'm going, do you know how many people you don't use their real name?
Right.
Are you targeting us? What is the issue there? But basically, my assumption is that they're pushing everybody to the fan pages, if you're an entertainer, which it has been stated from Facebook that they only share, that only 5-7% of the people that like your page see your posts.
Yeah.
It has a filter. So you have to then pay to boost to have people see your posts that are your fans. I'm going, so you're just doing this for money.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and they have to monetize it somehow, and we understand that. But, yeah, it definitely, like, the example I was thinking of is you've got so many friends on your Facebook page, you might not think twice about deciding that somebody has said something crazy or whatever. And or maybe they felt that you said something crazy and they would unfriend you. It's not like it's going to be the end of the world. But I think somebody who maybe has a smaller fan base might notice that. And I think that's where the horror movie comes from that. So we'll be linking that trailer on the website. And also, you can go to the Starlight Geeks group page if you haven't done so already. And see if you might be able to redeem some passes. Now, I will tell you, we have over 1,200 members on the Charlotte Geeks page, and we usually get about 30 or 40 passes, so they go pretty quickly. But, you know, definitely hurry. And always check back the day of, because there's always people who claim the passes and then have to release them because all of a sudden they realize they can't go. So definitely... check that out, and thanks again for supporting our podcast with your donation. So, good stuff. It should be interesting. Yeah. I think the trailer will tell a lot more than we did, so make sure to check that out.
Absolutely.
Speaking of things you need to check out, there is a new Harry Potter parody that's been going around, and it uses the Bruno Mars funk, Uptown Funk.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the Dark Lord Funk. So if you'd like to see a Ralph Fiennes-esque type of Voldemort.
Ralph Fiennes.
Yeah, Ralph. And Demi. Ralph and Demi go for tea quite a lot. I know this is a fact because everything is awesome Ralph. On Facebook. Yeah. So Ralph Fiennes. If you would like to see a Ralph Fiennes-esque type of person, you can go to the website and see the Uptown Funk parody, which is called Dark Lord Funk.
Is that not Bruno Mars and, like, Whiteface?
No.
I don't know about that one.
I mean, the parody, is it not actually Bruno Mars?
Is it?
I think it might be.
Oh, well, you know what? You could go to the website and check it out. Maybe find out.
Click on the link.
We
want to know now.
Click on the link. Okay, so last topic.
Yeah, things that you might not actually be able to go to. Gen Con? Is that what we're talking about?
Yes.
Assuming it's the last thing on the list.
We're so transitional.
I hope it was. I was like, there's so one left. Gender differences? For those playing at home, we have one more time.
I know. We should so release like the topics. Now, you need to draw a picture or something on there.
Yes.
Delighted to be here, because we keep these pages, and eventually we'll publish a little book of all the famous people who came. And
I didn't know I could doodle.
Yeah.
Of course.
Let me show you Tenacious T's page. It's just a bunch of scribbles over and over and over again.
My name. Like, how narcissistic am I?
As someone who's an entertainer, do you know how often I practice my signature? More than I care to admit.
This is Tiffany Cavill. Tiffany
Cavill. Tenacious T. Cavill. Okay, speaking of Gen Con.
Yes.
Boo hiss. They released a statement.
Yes. I actually am not totally familiar with this. I don't know what they are actually protesting against.
I know Dragon Con came out with a partial... Well, the Dragon Con moderator on Facebook came out with a statement. Then until Dragon Con came out with a statement, they weren't going to make a statement.
So Dragon Con came out with a statement saying they weren't going to make a statement.
Well, the moderator.
That's good.
Yeah.
But there is a possibility that Gen Con will either move or just not happen this year?
Wow. Yeah, they're really unhappy with some of the stuff going on in the state that they're in.
Yeah, which is a big thing because Gen Con is huge.
Yes.
It is actually one of the largest conventions in the... It's not mine.
Is it in, like, South Dakota?
I think it's in Indiana.
Yeah, it's in Indiana.
Fair enough, yeah.
Yeah. But it's a gaming convention.
Why is it... Oh, it's going to me. That's why I can't find it. Hold on. I totally had this in my feed.
I totally did.
Yeah, here we go. Gen Con. Keep talking.
But they're upset.
Yes, they are
very, very,
very
upset, the Gen Conners, and their assorted fans. Guess.
Mostly the con. The fans are upset because they won't be able to go to
JetCon. There's probably a lot of Facebook unfriending happening.
That's right.
So get your free passes. Get your free passes while they're hot.
Yeah.
Well, we'll put a link on there for you, for sure.
Something we didn't mention that I'm really surprised isn't on there is the fact that Jesse Eisenberg, the first looks came out for him as Lex Luthor.
Oh, I saw that right before we jumped on.
They shaved off his head. He's bald. Yep. And people were like, come on now. It's just the same thing over and over again. Gene Hackman was bald and...
Well, Lex Luthor is bald. I mean, if you're going to have a Lex Luthor character, he's got to be bald.
Well, there's
Kevin
been a
Spacey
lot of...
was him once, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
That's unfortunate.
Kevin Spacey's amazing.
Yes, but not that Superman was not amazing.
Yeah, we should have Stanley Tucci play Lex Luthor.
He would be a good Lex Luthor.
Actually, I think Jesse Eisenberg would be good. Now, the problem I have with the bald thing with him is, so Lex Luthor in the comic books was not originally bald. One of the stories they had was Superboy and Lex Luthor grew up in Smallville together, and because there was a fire, because Lex Luthor was trying to do something crazy with chemicals, and he lost his hair, and Superboy came in and blew out the fire, and in the process, the chemicals saturated Lex Luthor's hair, it all fell out, and he blamed Superboy, and they went from best buddies to this rivalry.
Does Superboy eventually become Superman?
Yes. He does.
Okay.
He
does.
Yes. Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Just in case,
well, for me, it was actually.
Just in case you missed that whole, 90 years of comic books or something.
Go to your public library. Check them out for free.
So, and there's also word now that Matt Smith might be in the Harry Potter spinoff. Just throwing that out there.
The Fantastical Creatures and Where to Find Them?
Yes.
The book that is about 40 pages long that they're making into 3 movies?
Really?
They learned it from The Hobbit.
No, they learned it from flipping Deathly Hallows. It's either going to be 2 or 3 movies. I don't know how they're doing 2 or 3 movies out of this tiny... little book that is basically lists of fantastical creatures. I don't know.
Peter Jackson then can go and do the appendices and stuff.
Don't tempt him.
He'll do it. There's more than 40 pages in that sucker.
I'm waiting for him to look at that copy of Silmarillion on his shelf and go, I could do that.
Yeah. Would it be something like Jumanji? Jumanji. It's the basis of the movies, but then they go and do whatever they want with the plot line. It's like, what are we going to do with this creature now?
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do.
So technically, they could have 47 zillion movies.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird... I was surprised when they said they were going to make a movie out of it. It's like, now you're just kind of scraping. You're like, what Harry Potter thing can you do?
Well, J.K. Rowling made some news today because... somebody was complaining about her making that they just didn't see Dumbledore as being gay, and she tweeted back and said, "Oh, you mean because he looked like a person like everybody else? I mean, how do you look gay, right?" So, don't answer that. So Gen Con was threatening the governor it will leave the state over Indiana's controversial SB 101. So, Gen Con LLC has issued a formal letter to the Republican Governor Mike Pence in light of the passage of State Bill 101, the controversial religious freedom bill, as the Indianapolis Star refers to it, would offer legal protection under which Indiana business owners could refuse service to same-sex couples. And so... the owner, Adrian Swartout, sent a letter made public today that passage of the bill will factor into our decision-making on hosting the convention in the state of Indiana in future years. It's currently the largest annual convention in the Indianapolis Convention Center, so it's not just a weak-level threat. And it brings the city tens of millions of dollars in revenue.
It would be like Dragon Con moving out of Atlanta.
Right. Yeah, it was originally started back in the 1960s, started by Gary
Gygax.
Yeah, who is the modern role-playing gamer. I love how you finish that for me when I obviously look like I have no idea.
I don't even play Dungeons and Dragons, but I know the name.
So last year, Gen Con hosted more than 56,000 attendees from more than 40 different countries in all 50 states.
So they want to keep the booking, yes.
So if you want to keep the booking, get it together. And this link from polygon.com actually has a copy of the actual letter if you want to see that. So make sure you go and check that out.
I love reading letters. Let's make a trilogy out of the letter.
That's right. You know, the letter, yeah.
We'll make it. It's a one-page letter. We could make at least two movies
at
out
least.
Of that.
Oh, easy.
At least. Someone get Peter Jackson on the horn.
You know, it is a convention, and Con Man totally, like, blew their Indiegogo out of the water.
Sure,
so.
Yeah. Who didn't think that was going to...
But, you know, they originally just wanted, like, a couple hundred thousand, and they're at, like, 2.5 million right now. So, crazy. Yeah.
There are some of those Kickstarters and Indiegogos where I'm just, like, they're so stacked where I'm just, like, eat it. Like, the oatmeal one, it's, like, all you have to do is basically post the thing.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's ridiculous to even have it 30 days, because it immediately surpasses, like, I hate to say 1,000%. I like people to be successful, but when I see that, I'm like, come on, that's not fair.
You can get
real backing for this through a legitimate source.
True. My personal opinion is, if you're going to put up an Indiegogo or something and say, I need $2.5 million or whatever, stop at $2.5 million and say, okay, we've got it, thank you.
Yeah.
Now, there have been, like, Oatmeal, who said that they were going to give proceeds back to charity.
So that, so, and I don't mind the Oatmeal guy getting, because he does actually give it back.
He's cool, but, yeah.
But some of these people... I mean, granted, we are willingly giving them money, so.
Well, and I have to say that part of the reason why I now find myself investing in some of these crowdsourcings, when I know they're going to succeed, whether or not I support them, is because if you lock in at certain levels, they just keep throwing free stuff at you.
Yeah, they do.
So that's kind of why I'm on that list of donators. And I even looked at possibly donating more, but then I decided, you know, I like to eat something other than ramen noodles, so I stopped.
Why? Ramen noodles is good for the body.
They're not gluten-free. So...
Speaking of crowdsourcing, Delighted, you have a campaign out there right now, don't you?
I do. On Kickstarter, we have 14 days left and a sizable way
to
go.
It'll be like 12 days left by the time I get this on air, but...
Okay. And, crunch time, if you will. Yes, I am working on a TV show called Delighted Travels, and it is going to be an LGBT travel show where, I'll highlight, 10 different cities and, 10 different episodes about, obviously nightlife and, restaurants, but also, wedding ceremony destinations for LGBT couples and honeymoon destinations and family friendly things. So if you're a gay couple with kids, where can you go that's going to be, you know, comfortable and welcoming for you? And, you know, highlight the LGBT owned and allied and affirming businesses so that we can support them for supporting us. So it's a really neat concept. It doesn't exist right now. It'll start as a web series, and then we will pump it out at and promote it to Logo and Bravo and the Travel Channel and OWN, and maybe Oprah will, you know, pick it up. But yeah, I think it's a neat and needed concept.
I think that's a really cool idea,
right?
Yeah.
So I'll be like the Rachel Ray meets the Queer Eye for the Straight Guy for Travel Channel stuff. So it'd be fun. Yeah, so it's called Delighted Travels. Check it out and give. We appreciate it in advance. There's a lot that goes into it, obviously, technology and cameras and the bulk of it is travel expenses.
Absolutely. I was gonna say, there's probably some travel in there.
Some travel expenses in there, and then obviously taxes. So if you know, see the pie chart on the Kickstarter that says taxes. So
I have a perfect thing for you to travel to if you're interested.
I would love to know about this.
I was contacted this week by a convention in Atlanta called Outlanticon, www.darkpoolbrewing.org. And their event is May 8th through 10th. And they are BLGTI content in sci-fi, fantasy, and horror. So if you are a sci-fi, fantasy, and horror fan and you'd like to focus a little bit more on some of the gay themes across, you know, and the diversity themes across the different genres, they are definitely a convention that is going to be very friendly. I do have to say that I do find that in general, the sci-fi community, like Gen Con, is very family-friendly of all diversities, mostly. And if they're not, come and tell me at my table at Charlotte Geeks or Geekella, and we will beat them up for you. No, I won't beat them up, but I will speak with them strongly and throw my gluten-free pasta at them. So, you know, there's so many gay rights battles that go on, and they really just want to show them that the community is like when we're not fighting for our rights and just having fun. So, and several of our members regularly attend that, but they have contacted us and we are happy to support their efforts. So if you don't have anything planned the week of May 8th through 10th, go check out atlanticon.org.
May 8th through 10th. Okay.
Right before you move.
Right after I move. I'll be moving the last week of April.
Just when you thought you were out, they pull you back in.
I know.
The South will rise again.
Oh, but honey, with a name like Delighted to Be Here, the South will always be my home. You know, they say that there's only four ways to become a New Yorker. You can, you have to be born there. You have to live there for longer than 10 years. Or you have to be mugged or hit by a taxi. So,
given the options,
I might not ever become a New Yorker, but I'm just giving it a good, valiant effort for a year. I'm committing to a year because that's what everybody's told me to do, and doing some Broadway auditions and, still traveling a lot, still going to London and LA a good bit, and working on some great like weekly gigs up there. So it's a really, really exciting time.
Well, we were so glad we got you on the podcast before you went away, because we love you. Because
we wouldn't be able to get you on the podcast after you went away.
Because we don't have that Skype thing down yet.
Not Skype or the budget. But, but yeah, but but you can check me out at my website on all things for imdelightedtobehere.com. imdelightedtobehere.com.
Is it I am? Like I am. The letters I am, or I am, I am?
Grammatically correct.
I'm. So, okay. Minus the apostrophe,
link.
Yes.
We put that link on the website along with all the other links I promised sometime through the episode. So.
Have fun tonight!
Yes. Sometimes we get guests on that purposely throw out random links just to see if I can find them, and I curse them at about 2 a.m.
We love that.
So, but and we'll link your TED Talk, if that's okay with you.
Oh, please do. Please do. So, it's about unzipping stereotypes and how being safe can sometimes be a bad thing.
Interesting. That sounds cool. I'll check that out.
When SAFE stands for stereotypes, assumptions, fear, and expectations, those are the four things that can get in the way between you and getting to know somebody. So that is what my TED Talk is about.
Don't be safe.
I know.
But be safe.
Play safe, but do not let these things get in the way of meeting somebody amazing that might have different opinions from yours. I really like, as far as the throwing the gluten-free pasta, I think it's really important right now that we figure out how to coexist with people that have differing opinions, and if we can show the respect to them for their beliefs, maybe that can start a trend of folks going, well, they're not so bad, and then, you know, keep moving forward about, because we're never all going to agree, because wouldn't that be boring?
Oh, yeah.
No, it's flavor. If you never have a bad day, you don't appreciate a good hair day. So, anyway.
So,
on that note,
are we bidding adieu?
That note.
We're leaving. Everybody say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Au revoir.
Of Wiedersehen.
I thought we were doing the language thing. Come on now.
Deuces.